is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 18th of March, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Good morning. I got a couple of housekeeping notes before we dive right into the show. We're talking about what's in the news this morning. I asked Mr. Nuri to join me this morning so that I don't get stuck in the two stories that I wanted to highlight for today. I got a little bit of housekeeping to get to. Let's start by congratulating all of the participants and winners at the Bahamas National Spelling Bee yesterday afternoon. It was held at, I think, Super Club Breezes, 3 p.m. Congratulations to the champion, Arav Balani of Lyford Key International School, who represented the Bahamas Association of Independent Secondary Schools. Kudos to Eckward Ferguson of Central Eleuthera High, who is the BNSB second place winner. Congrats to Rebecca Barnett of Maurice Moore Primary, that's in the Grand Bahama, Bimini, and the Keys District. She is the third place winner. And I have to send a special shout out and congratulations to my grandnephew, Camden Green of Walter Parker Primary, which is also in the Grand Bahama, Bimini, and the Keys District. And we celebrate him and say congratulations for a wonderful effort and a job well done. Another quick story highlighting a culture of appreciation for education in the Bahamas. Bahamians on Jeopardy. Nuri, you know any Bahamians been on Jeopardy?
No. But I see there is somebody who's being featured now from Grand Bahama.
Well, we have a cousin.
Who cousin?
Us. I mean, HHD.
Really?
His HHD cousin. Now, he must be of Bahamian descent, right? Because only Canadians and Americans, U.S. citizens can apply to...
I think he attended school here in Grand Bahama or some sort?
He may have, but that doesn't mean that he is a Bahamian citizen. Or he may have... change citizenship, but the point is...
You may be like Rick Fox.
The point is you have to be American, U.S. citizen, or Canadian citizen to play on Jeopardy.
Oh, okay.
So this is our cousin. We say congratulations to Ferdinand Percenti, who will be a contestant on the show Jeopardy.
What about Vivica Watkins? She was on a game show once in the United States.
Yeah?
Yeah, I could picture her now, because she was a big thing that she traveled over there to represent... whatever she's representing, Vivica Watkins.
She may have had dual citizenship.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe Ferdinand also has dual citizenship. And I love this note that was added to the story. With the spirit of education that he inherited from his grandfather, Humphrey Professor Percenti, Ma Ruby, and great-grandmother Vera Hanna. Vera Hanna is the first recipient of the Order of Merit for Education. That's what the note says. So he comes from a family that has a culture of appreciation for education. The episode is expected to air in the first week of April.
Congratulations, Tim.
And on that note, since we're celebrating one of the HHT clan, I'd like to remind everyone in the HHT clan that there's a general meeting this Wednesday, the 20th of March at 6 p.m. via Zoom. The Zoom link will be posted in all what's HHT social media platforms for members to join that meeting. The meeting is being held early this month because the regularly scheduled meeting would sit right in Easter week.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we're going to push it forward to the 20th of March, 6 p.m., check all Hannah Hasty Tyne's social media platforms for access to the Zoom link. The numbers to call to join this morning's conversation, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and for Family Island residents, a toll-free number, 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. And the text line, as always, powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. So the newspapers are loaded with stories this morning. Two stories I wanted to touch on, Mr. Nuri. The first one I've entitled A Hero and a Scoundrel.
Ooh, that's a heavy topic.
It's just a fanciful title, right? It's just a fanciful title.
It's like a book title.
It's like clickbait.
Okay.
You know, when they have a sensational headline to draw you into the story. Anyway, A Hero and a Scoundrel. In Friday's edition of the Tribune, we saw a story entitled Pilot Tells of Daring Haiti Rescue Mission. Daring Haiti Rescue Mission. A helicopter pilot who flew to Haiti to airlift 10 Americans from the country has told Tribune columnist Diane Phillips of the nighttime rescue, which included stops in Long Island and Nassau on the way home. Anthony Tony Marinello, who flies search and rescue and medical airlifts between the Bahamas and South Florida hospitals, was recruited to fly the mission alongside a fellow pilot, as well as a U.S. Congressman, Corey Mills, and a Special Forces security aide.
Oh, a congressman was involved at all?
Yeah.
And the congressman was on the plane?
Well, as the story was told, it's as well as U.S. Congressman Corey Mills. It's an interesting story. And it's a well-told story. It was the dark of night, Tuesday, March 12th, as U.S. Congressman Corey Mills. It's, right? Anyway, that's not the point.
Very picturesque.
The point is this, is that a team of Americans flew into Haiti to rescue some people who were a part of an orphanage. And they're hailed as heroes. Right? They were hailed as heroes. And so we say we're glad that everybody involved in that adventure is safe. Here's my question, Mr. Nuri. How is it that a group of people, Americans, could get on a helicopter, decide to fly into Haiti without no authorization, it appears, because throughout the story, they tell a tale. In fact, I'll take a quote from the story right here. The chopper was loaded at the top limit of its weight capacity, carefully calculated in the flash of an instant by the pilot. Quote, I fully expected to be shot at. There was gunfire everywhere. There's no law and order. The prime minister resigned 20 minutes after we arrived. I knew we would take them by surprise. No one knew we were coming except the people in the house we were going to. Bang, right?
That's a lot of drama.
It's a real life movie. We like to talk about it's a movie. That's a real life movie. But so that situation right there, what I want to know is how could these people who got on a plane with no authorization, as is suggested, that's what I inferred from the words shared by one of the people involved, they get on a copter, they fly into Haiti without any authorization, they pick up a group of people working with an orphanage, right? And they fly them out of Haiti. Those four people that got in the helicopter to lead that rescue mission, hailed as heroes. What makes them any different from the Haitian man that secures a boat, puts a whole bunch of people in a boat to sail them away from the very same dangers that the pilot felt the need to go into to rescue these foreigners waking at an orphanage? I just want to know, what's the difference?
Is this a rhetorical question, or you want me to answer?
You could answer. I'd like the audience to call in again.
The difference is in between expat and immigrant. What makes one group an expat, and what makes the other group an immigrant? And that's your answer there.
There you go. If anybody else would like to join and chime in on that question, that's what we're talking about, that question. I see we have a caller on the line already. Good morning, caller.
What's happening, Aaron?
Good morning. I'm good, sir. How are you?
Quite well. Your question may be kind of like irrelevant.
Okay.
You know how much stuff is coming out of
waste? Coming out of Haiti?
Resources and
mm-hmm.
stuff. You know, I mean, the Americans and the other nations in the world actually run Haiti in terms of how it gets to its resources.
Mm-hmm.
And its resources, you know, like stuff in our country, is being exported. Now, if the Caribbean had any balls, we would have rescued Haiti from this situation. What's in the best interest of the Western economic engine that Haiti remains in the spot that it's in?
I want to interject here, sir. Forgive me, because I wanted to hear you finish, right? But what you mean rescue? If our Caribbean brothers wanted to rescue Haiti?
No, no.
Give an example of what you mean by rescue. What do you want us to?
Haiti was the first.
No, I don't want a history lesson.
But no. See. You need a context.
No, I know the context.
Okay.
Everyone in the Bahamas know the history of Haiti.
If you know the context, you know, why are you asking the question?
No, I didn't ask the question about the history of Haiti. Because we all know the history of Haiti.
Yes.
I want to know why. How we can help Haiti. That's it. How we can help Haiti.
Not why we should feel an obligation to help Haiti, but how can we help Haiti?
Okay. We can help Haiti. In that thing we call CARICOM, right?
Mm-hmm.
CARICOM has been, you know, around for a while, right? You know, it's just up to now, it's only a bunch of talking heads. If they want to have a project, they can rescue Haiti if they want to.
Okay.
Okay, we can come together. You know, because the amount of stuff, the amount of influence, the amount of money that flows through the Caribbean every year, in and out of it, can be used to help our brothers who are less fortunate. Now, you know, we probably don't see them as being our brothers. Okay? Because, we our talkers, you know, is this my Haitian? No, you all can't send them back.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
A quick question before we go.
Yes.
Should CARICOM initiate the formation of a regional military force like Europe has NATO? Should the Caribbean through CARICOM establish a regional military force?
They could, but they'll get shut down.
Okay.
Okay. This has to be just to see. Okay. It's the same way. Our leaders, right?
Yes, sir.
Came out of England. Well, all the Caribbean leaders came out of England, with views on socialism, in terms of how to deal with, all their problems.
Mm-hmm.
As you go down south, you know, Gary and Forbes Burnham, all those guys, those guys were extremely active. But we in Nassau,
mm-hmm.
in the Bahamas, right in the armpit of America, we could not do those things our brothers further south were into, and that attitude still prevails. We are dependent on our largest neighbor.
True. Thank you very much, sir.
All right.
Thank you very much for your contribution. I get a whole lot of...
Yeah, that's good, because I didn't get anything from that in terms of how can we help Haiti. I'm still waiting on a good German to just give one example of what can we do, physically do. Even spiritually, even if you say, man, we could pray for them, I would have been grateful for that.
He spoke in code.
Then you crack the code for me then. Okay, that's what I mean.
No, I want to read these texts first and then I'm going to come back to it. I'll tell you... when I read the text after that, I'll tell you what I inferred from what he said.
Yes, please.
So first text says, Vivica was on Wheel of Fortune. Bang, bang, bang. Another text says, I agree with CA. The point that you made that the answer lies within the difference between expat and migrant. So you know about speaking between the codes, man. That's normal. Another text, that's normal protocol for rescues in combat zone. You don't announce it. To your question, they have a passport for their ultimate destination. I believe the story said the security aid checked everyone's passports before they bought it. Their text, I noticed how well that sentence was placed in the story. You know when you watch a movie and there's a scene, and in the moment, the scene seems irrelevant. There's no context for it. But later in the movie, something happens. And then you remember that scene earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
See, because with the passport thing, I'm glad you brought that up. Here's my question. If this was a legitimate mission, right? I'm not saying it was illegitimate or unauthorized. I'm saying if it was, why didn't they... When they landed in the DR and their first stop after leaving Haiti, why didn't they immediately contact the U.S. embassy staff there, military staff there, to indicate to them they had just completed a rescue mission and they would like to leave these Americans in the hands of the American embassy staff or authorities? So they went Haiti from the story. The story says they went Haiti, DR, Turks, Long Island, Nassau. Right? They said they were welcome with open arms. And this is what the story says, right? Like everybody. Ooh. My point is, though, for the safety of everybody involved, especially since you were concerned that you were flying far more people than you had planned originally, why didn't you stop? When you stopped in the DR, why didn't you immediately alert authorities and say, hey, we just pulled off this mission and we want to ensure the safety of these people and turn them over to American authorities as soon as possible. The text continues, this is simple. A country with power authorized someone to rescue its people. Remember what happened after Dorian, the U.S. refused to allow Bahamians to enter Florida. There was a period where I guess they were getting their systems and protocols in order to ensure that no human trafficking was taking place post-Dorian. Text goes on to say, no mystery, America puts Americans first, France puts French first, Germany puts Germany first. Another text, we don't build rescue boats or rescue aircraft or make rescue bullets. We ain't ready for big league machinations. Another text, CARICOM should stick to the script agreed from 2013. Reparations for chattel slavery and the transatlantic slave trade. Haiti needs reparations and restitution. Another quick text. Great show as usual. Let's be real with this topic. Haiti was a mess for the last 500 years. All they know is fighting. We can't help Haiti. The truth is only Haiti can help Haiti by their mindset and internal government. Well, it's a lot of text. So back to the question that you asked, Mr. Nuri.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was suggesting that the strategy... for the Caribbean helping Haiti is that we need to organize as a regional body. We don't have the numbers as individual countries to launch, I think, an effective negotiation in the halls of power. But if we begin by understanding ourselves as a regional bloc and the need in some instances to negotiate and to politic as a bloc. And I know people, they shudder when they hear that, but you could imagine the conversations it took to lead Europe to consolidating into a political body called the European Union. It took them a lot of long nights and a lot of long words, but it's something to be considered.
So you just say we need to form a bloc. That's how we help Haiti.
We need to enhance and strengthen the capacity of CARICOM. We need to shirk our cultural stereotypes and our bend towards regional xenophobia.
We don't want freedom of movement, Aaron.
That's good because we trust me, that's good. Because in a moment, it won't just be other regional bodies who can't travel here. It'll be all of us can't move. And I don't think that element is taken into account, that while we sit here in the Bahamas and create foreign policy and strategize as an individual nation, the powers that be, they construct their policies and strategize with against us. They see us as one block of people. And that's how they engage. And then they, once they've created a strategy, that strategy often contains a divide and conquer element. Right? And so perhaps the beginning of this movement is an individual and a cultural one where we realign our sense of self and identity to a more strategic and powerful identity. And we may achieve some of the results we want. But I just wanted to throw that topic on the table. A hero and a scoundrel. Mm-hmm. What makes one group of people making a self-declared, unauthorized move into the country to pick up people who we don't know, because of the state of the country they are being rescued from, we don't know whether any of those individuals or the entity that they were a part of were under investigation. What we do know is that post the earthquake, it's a 2010 earthquake, we have not just anecdotal evidence, but we have data showing, what would you want to call it, potential with malfeasance, that some people, some foreigners are in the country running orphanages and other civil society organizations for nefarious purposes, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between a team of Americans that go into Haiti with no authorization to rescue a group of non-Haitians and a Haitian that puts together a boat and puts people on it to sail it to the Bahamas to rescue them from the very same conditions?
We're assuming that the foreigners, the Americans, are planning to go to the United States. They're not planning to stay in the Bahamas. I think that's the difference. Whereas we cannot say that the Haitian migrants plan to leave the Bahamas in a short period of time.
I will say
they
tend
to tarry here for a bit.
I would say that they intend to leave. Like, for many of them, the Bahamas is not their final destination, just like those other people. But they got to stop off to fill up the water bottles and get, and then they may have to make some moves and get a job to make some money to buy provisions for the boat to continue their journey to Florida. But what if in every instance, every migrant that sails from Haiti to the Bahamas sees the Bahamas only as a landing spot, a refueling spot, a reprovisioning spot, but because of the nature of their economics, their refueling may take a couple of years versus those guys with full support of local authorities were able to fuel up their plane and fly out ASAP. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to put on the table today. Another text. Great show as usual. Haiti is following behind a warlord who looks like he wants to be president of Haiti. Haiti will become worse before it becomes better. You have to want better to do better. You know what country have a warlord? Doesn't the U.S. have like a, they know you have a war czar? they know. Anyway, that's just tongue in cheek. Another text quickly. A U.S. congressman was on board. I'm 1,000% confident the U.S. military had full awareness of what was happening. I watch movies when Haitians launch a rescue to get Haitians out of the Bahamas and take them back to Haiti, for which they have passports. They'll have the same write up. Texter, the story in no way confirms that these people had, that the U.S. military had full awareness of, and in fact, that's exactly the opposite of how it happens. Plausible deniability is one of the.
I'm just impressed that congressman's on board.
Well, listen, the story is very interesting because I'm going to read from it again. Pilot tells of daring Haiti rescue mission. So this story is being told by Diane Phillips. She is writing this story after speaking to the captain, the pilot, on the helicopter. Corey Mills had done this before. Corey Mills is the Florida congressman who represents the 7th District. Corey Mills had done this before, Marinello tells me, in Afghanistan and Israel. This time, he was acting on behalf of a congresswoman in Michigan. contacted by the stranded, well-meaning Americans, most of whom were from Michigan, now part of a nightmare in a gang-infested, civil war-torn Haiti, scared for their lives, hiding. Mm. So I like that part, because if they were scared for their lives, hiding, imagine the people in Haiti that don't have a U.S. congressman to call on, who knows another U.S. congressman who used to work in, I mean, who went to war in Afghanistan. I would be even more afraid. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have a G.I. Joe or a MacGyver on my team. Anyway, I just wanted to put that on there. We're not judging whether what the American team did was legal or not, or right or not. My only question is, if we're going to celebrate them for doing it, what is this thing we have for the Haitian that does the same thing? Juxtaposed to that now, Mr. Newry, is what's happening in Haiti.
Yeah, what is happening in Haiti?
Now, you want to hold that for your hour?
Why not? I want to have a discussion on Haiti. I wanted to have a discussion on what the Bahamas should be doing. What is our current response? I do want to have that conversation, and I want to have the Bahamian public's opinion. Do we approve of our official position, which the Prime Minister gave recently? Mm-hmm. Should we be doing more? Mm-hmm. Should the Haitian Bahamians, put that in quotes, should be doing more here? Should the Haitian nationals be doing? I mean, I don't know what they could be doing, right?
Because they could only do what they allowed to do within the scope of their work permit.
Yes, right? What is the narrative of what is happening? A country without a prime minister and a president, what does that mean, right? I want to have a discussion on it. I mean, the discussion is wide and vast, right? It's complicated. It's not an easy question. A lot of guesswork, right? But I do want to have that conversation, and perhaps we'll have that on the other hour.
All right, maybe we slide into it.
Yeah.
I got another text here that says, exactly that's what I'm saying, plausible deniability. And then they say, I bet you my chocolate dessert that U.S. congressman traveling with a U.S., what do you call that, letter agency aide informed the military pre-flight. And take that text right there. So here's the question. Does this rescue mission in any way negatively impact U.S.-Haitian relations on the ground in Haiti and at the negotiating table, which is not in Haiti? I make that point. The negotiating table itself about Haiti is not in Haiti.
Haiti doesn't have a government, so there can't be no tension, right?
Haiti doesn't have a formally recognized government, but that's not to say that Haiti doesn't have a government.
We just need to say what is the government and what's happening.
Because when you say
who's in charge?
When you say there's a government, that means there's a body to negotiate with. And so as long as you say there's no government, then you have no body to negotiate with.
And then we'll set up a body and negotiate with a set up body.
Well, I'll get to that.
Perhaps that body will be in Canada or in the United States.
I'll get to that. We have a couple of stories that tell us the makeup of some of these bodies. But we got a call on the line. Good morning, caller.
NNCA. This story almost sounds like Jim Jones in Guyana, the congressman that got killed, trying to rescue some of Jim Jones' church people. But I'm sure the feds know, because a congressman was on board up there. I'm quite sure. That the FAA know, the feds knew what time it was, but that was like a private mission to rescue Americans. And I'm quite sure they're poor Americans, but they have to do Americans. But getting back to, Revelation, the last president was Aristide said that. In a couple of weeks, he was out of office. The French and the United States put him on the plane at gunpoint. They were hearing nothing about reparations. So that went their name over. And then in 94, Clinton had two battle groups to run a president or the office. Because they wanted him gone. But do you know, from 1915, the United States invaded there for running tanks? I think in 1925, the United States split it. Give one country more land than the other one. the Spanish side get have same get have twice about land than the black side. See the U.S. and Citibank. Google Citibank and Haiti. Okay. They got pretty gold from Haiti in 1915. And the French did the same thing too, with SIS Bank. And Haitian mortgage, their loan. And they still probably paying for it. They probably just stop paying. Because it assumed that they broke the country, and now they scared to fix it. Or it can't be fixed.
Well,
what do you say about that?
Thank you very much. I can throw that question on the table. Thank you. Here's a question, Mr. Nuri. Is Haiti an occupied state or is it a failed state?
Haiti is a failed state. They haven't proven that they can manage themselves.
I mean, they have proven that they can manage themselves.
Where have they proven they can manage themselves?
So you're telling me in the history of Haiti, there's no time when they've proven that they could manage themselves?
It's too short to measure.
Is it? Okay, so here's the question. Are they unable to manage themselves in and of themselves, or are they unable to manage themselves with the level of global or international political and economic interference that they face?
This is a global world, Erin. There's political interference in all countries.
So that leads me to the question, who is interfering politically, and can Haiti rely on the people who are interfering politically to provide sustainable, entrenchable solutions to what Haiti is experiencing right now? Mm. I mean, that's the question on the table. Thank you, caller, for that contribution, right? The question is Haiti a failed state or is Haiti an occupied state? Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nui.
Good morning, sir.
I'm in a fury. I'd rather read an encyclopedia than listen to mainstream media. Or Wikipedia. Now, listen, the gentleman in Haiti is a failed state, right? But it's a construct. And so if we give the chronology, the history, you know, C.A. Nuri is correct that most of us would have known and heard the history of Haiti somewhat. But we must remember that history is written by the winner, okay? And so one of the stories that always captured me that I remembered was a story that you never heard about, the story of Charlemagne Peralte. He was a young guy who was a revolutionist and was opposed to the UN, to the United States occupation from 1915 that Robert was speaking about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we know about the exploitation of the gold companies in Haiti, Guyana, et cetera, and how they left. They degraded the land and left environmental breaches, et cetera, et cetera. This is all for anybody to go and read if they up to speed. Now, the problem I have is, one would be naive to say, unless you're very much underread and believe that Haiti can't solve their own problems with the amount of intellectuals they have in the States, abroad, et cetera, all the affiliations that they have. So that's how we know it's a construct. Haiti can't solve their problem. The question is, what is stopping them? So there's no such thing as they can't solve their own problem. That's unfair to say that. But the question is not also, can we help Haiti? We are helping Haiti. You see what I'm saying? And that's what I really hate to hear. But to be honest with you, Ms. Green, there's a reason for what we're seeing in Haiti. Okay? And we know that most of the slaves would have been to Haiti. This is why they have one of the largest population post-slavery, because most of the slaves went there. So their collective effort would help. Okay? And as far as the orphanages, yeah, there are some people in there for sinister reasons. It's just like the Red Cross. They could be doing things that appears to be good, but inside they're feeding the people dog food, et cetera, et cetera. But it's all about exploitation. And so because Haiti is a black nation, like C.A. said, once the caller said, talked about reparation, you saw what happened. But we must ask the question, why is the international community at large and the Caribbean haven't cohesed together to try and solve the problem? Because it's all a geopolitical construct to have the whole Caribbean basin in a fallout, because they know the repercussions of Haitian migration throughout the sub-region, and they know the effects it will have on people. So it's designed to create some type of upheaval that maybe you and I can't conceive, that people don't want to conceive and see the world for where it's at. It's just a strong oppression upon the weak, like the Bible says. You understand what I'm saying? Bless up, yeah.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Nuri, I found the second set of stories. They may actually... Thank you once again, 52. Here's another text. So this is caused by interference. So should every country leave Haiti now and let them solve it themselves? Let me read quickly from this article. CARICOM announces transitional presidential council for Haiti. Amid escalating instability in Haiti, Prime Minister Ariel Henry will resign and a transitional presidential council established to pave the way for peaceful power transfer. CARICOM chairman and Guyanese president Mohamed Irfan Ali announced late Monday night. Ali said during a press conference following the meeting, quote, it further seeks to assure that Haiti will be governed by the rule of law. Ali said the council, which will include 7 voting members and 2 non-voting observers, will be responsible for naming an interim president. The voting members are to include members of Haiti's political parties and the private sector. And the non-voting members will be 1 member of civil society and 1 member of the interfaith community.
That doesn't sound good.
Haiti has not had elections since 2016, and it has been marred by severe political, social, and economic instability since the 2019 assassination of President Jovenel Moïse. Oh, boy. I'm continuing to read. Just last week, CARICOM announced plans to help Haiti prepare for an election that would take place no later than August 2025, but those plans and hope for a solution quickly changed as gang leaders threatened war unless Henry resigned. Ali said the new plan for transitional government was formulated in consultation with a diverse group of Haitian stakeholders. However, he noted that it was not a quick fix. Quote, we implore all parties, all stakeholders, all Haitians to be patient, he said. This process requires patience. End quote.
Yeah, that's interesting. They have some colonizer type words inside this proposed plan, dictating type things. But Haiti's going through a rough time, and it'll take some decisions, tough decisions made by caring and concerned nations in order to help push it forward. And hopefully the Haitian people there realize it and understand that this have to go through. I'm not sure. I mean, if it happened to the Bahamas, right, I can't picture Bahamians being comfortable with outside forces telling us that they're going to select a prime minister for us. Us being political, I don't think that will go well. This,
especially if the belief is that those outside forces are responsible,
yes,
for the fact that you don't have a leader and you need a new system to elect someone or appoint someone to be your leader.
Yes.
Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Make a quick statement. And so perhaps you and CA know you could read it. But I think it would be very beneficial to the Negro community at large, because Sir Francis Galton or Sir Charles Darwin, in their book, The Origin of Species, but I can't even remember something, The Origin of Species, but there's a statement coming from Sir Francis Galton, in which it was very disturbing. I think I'd read it years ago on the radio, in which it actually gave the type of narrative in which he said the Negro race cannot govern themselves without any external measure or guidance from the white race. It's not verbatim what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe some of us have adopted that attitude. That is why I was prompted to call, because when you repeat a narrative so much, maybe some people really believe BS. But that's what I'm saying. Why can't we believe that we can govern ourselves without some external measure of guidance from the white race?
Absolutely. Thank you. Because if we don't believe that Haiti can govern itself, do we believe that we could govern ourselves? A text here that says, Haiti is an unlucky state. If Abaco had had as much successive natural disasters as Haiti, could it have recovered? Or would Abaco business owners still be outside their businesses guarding them with shotguns, as the police commissioner keeps saying nothing going on? I don't see this as some conspiracy. I hear this narrative that we want your money, but don't get involved in our affairs. Not going to happen. Nobody does that. They will ensure you have a voice, but nobody will give you financial aid and let you run the money by yourself, even if they end up making a mess too. So Haiti need to pick their battle. If Abaco had as much successive natural disasters as Haiti, well, producer, let's queue up that caller. Caller, I come into you in a second. Our prime minister has taken a significant chunk of our resources in terms of his time, of the technical expertise available to the government and the money needed to run those spaces to launch an argument, right? To launch an argument that the Bahamas has suffered so many natural disasters that we need to create a financial mechanism that takes into account not just the damage that we have experience, but the potential, right, the future potential damage. And so if we can reconcile this thought to construct a whole global foreign policy strategy, how is it that we can't reconcile that same thought when we think about Haiti? Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing, ma'am?
Good, thank you. How you doing?
I'm all right. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning to you.
I totally agree with with 52 when he said that Haiti can solve their own problems. I mean, that should be a no-brainer. You know, if they're only given the opportunity to function as a normal country, should be able to. For you to say what you're saying, I guess you might just be trying to be some type of what they call devil's advocate or something. Because anyone who knows, I'm certain that you are educated enough to know the history of Haiti. But I think the best way we could help Haiti as a nation is to start to teach the truth, man, about Haiti, man, and stop letting these stupid, ignorant talks, be about Haiti or voodoo, and they do it to themselves and all these other things. Like, come on, man. We are people who emerged from slavery, and Haiti is a great symbol for us to look up to and respect for what they did and how they were able to conquer the French and how they were able to, form the only ever nation that was able to become from a slave revolt. You know what I mean? We need to teach us as a people, man. It's a disgrace for us as a black nation to have that kind of rhetoric that we talk about our own people. Haiti is a great people, man. So what we need to do is we need to start to teach the truth about Haiti, because it's almost like we siding with Columbus over the Arawaks. Like we pushing Columbus narrative. Come on, man, people, man. Let's wake up, man, and realize that Haiti is a great place, and that when they became independent, they had in their constitution that any black person who reached to Haiti was a free man, during the time of slavery. So Haiti was like heaven to any slave back then who heard that, because I truly feel as if Haiti could solve his own problems, because Haiti, and if they were left alone, that they would be the greatest black nation in this region, because they wrote their own constitution. So they have an idea of what it is to have self-determination. Thank you very much.
Look, before you go, sir, hopefully you're still there.
Yes, I'm here.
I'm still trying to find out what you want the world to do. You want the world to say, okay, Haiti, y'all stay over there. We'll continue to go by our way. Because I believe every Bahamian is aware of the Haitian Revolution. They know what happened and transpired in Haiti. We are quite aware. We just see no reason why we need to stick there. We are no longer in 1807. We want to know, what can you do now? What can they do now?
First of all, the international community, especially the first world nations, they can stop meddling in their affairs, in a kind of way, because as long as they're against you, it's near impossible for you to ever...
So you believe that there is a conspiracy, the whole world has to conspire against Haiti, that they're working against them?
Well, I wouldn't say the entire world, because, you'll find governments who might secretly or support Haiti, but because of the fear of the retribution of the larger nations, then they're not going to take the stance that they need to take. You understand? So it's not the whole world. It's just who in the world is against Haiti and the individuals who are against Haiti.
Can I ask you, who in the world is against Haiti?
I just told you the first world countries.
So if all of the first world countries are against Haiti, you believe Haiti can survive without it?
You say if they leave them alone, you said?
No, you said that the first world countries are against Haiti. And I'm saying if all of them are against Haiti, you believe that Haiti can survive still?
No.
Okay.
No. No, as long as the world remains the way it is, where they call the shots, that kind of way, you will never, ever have Haiti being able to succeed as a nation as long as they are against them like that. Come on, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, caller. And see, you talk about 1807, like you don't know time. That's why having a sense of place and a sense of time is so important. I'm not fussing you.
No, I understand.
I did sound very fussy just now. But here's what I want to say, mm-hmm. is that it appears as if the strategy put forth by those who are advocating for reparations holds a part of the answer. The first element of reparations should be acknowledgement that the very same systems...
And if they say they plan to acknowledge, what to do then?
Well, then we as Africans and the descendants of Africans have to take a stand. What do you do when somebody looks at you and spits in your face?
Declare war?
No, you determine to live a life obsolete of them. The best way to deal with the enemy is to make them obsolete. First, you confuse them, and then you make them obsolete. Good morning, caller.
You know we are ontologically Americans, right? You speaking against us.
Who teach you that word?
You teach me that word.
Good stuff, then. We can talk about it. Ooh, I want... Good morning, caller. How are you this morning?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, sir.
Oh, I couldn't hear you. You're coming in low, though.
Am I?
Huh?
Does the fire department say keep the fire low this morning, Miss Green? How are you doing?
Oh, yeah, you're still coming in low. Okay. Get close to that mic. I'm doing fine. Haiti supposed to have an election, so on.
Yes, we read from the article that the Transitional Council and the CARICOM members involved, they were aiming for 2025.
Well, yeah, I think they put the date back. It could probably be this year. But for what I commend my prime minister leading the way and trying to help resolve the problem.
Is he leading the way?
Huh?
Is he leading the way?
I think he's the chairman of CARICOM now.
No,
he's not.
Mohammed Gayana.
So he's not leading the way. Okay, I thought he was the chairman now.
No.
Okay. No, I'm not saying that sense. I'm saying to me.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying that sense. He's the chairman.
Because I could be...
I like his performance.
Oh, then you say that. Then.
And representing us.
Okay, I got another caller. I want to respond to that quickly. I want to say thank you for calling in and sharing that. I want to say that I'm not sure how I feel about that when I read the repatriation of individuals aboard these vessels will be conducted in a manner that prioritizes the safety of our officers and respects the human rights and dignity of the passengers. Is sending them back war-torn.
There will be no repatriation of Haitians anytime soon.
Listen, I'm reading.
You repatriate people to the capital, Port-au-Prince. That's under siege.
Listen. In various articles, one with the Commodore, rise in Haitian apprehensions, and in the article, rise in Haitian apprehensions, with the main airport in Haiti closed, repatriations cannot be carried out as usual. King said that consideration is being given to using a RBDF ship to transport apprehended migrants back to Haiti.
You remember when the Haitians took over one of our ships and we had to call the U.S. Coast Guard to come and see them? I mean, they took the whole Haiti run of the first one ship over as we were dropping people.
Good morning, caller. You have 30 seconds. We had the
end. Quality days is stuck in a wasteland with you and Yuri Aaron.
Morning, Bremen.
Let me ask, we need Justice Lawrence Abrahams here. Let me ask you something, because I don't get the problem. I don't understand what you're all elaborating on. What's the problem with Haiti? Before I make my comment.
What's the
problem with Haiti?
The question is, we try to determine what the problem is with Haiti. We don't have all the answers, but the question I put on the table to perhaps prompt us in our thinking is Haiti a failed state or is Haiti an occupied state?
Who do we get that information from? They have a council.
A transitional council.
Conditional council.
Like transitional, which means that the rule of law has been suspended. All of the governmental systems have been suspended, and there's a transitional
council. Well, let me ask you something before
right
my
now.
Time run out.
Mm-hmm.
Why hasn't they had gotten themselves together? You see, because we only 400,000 people, if it's that much. What they want us to do, and we always helping somebody.
That's the Christian way, Bremen. That's the Christian way. And the question that I didn't put on the table that I wanted to put on the table is, what is the Christian response? What is the Christian response? Because if it's Old Testament Christian, right, then our salvation is tied to one another. If it's a New Testament salvation, then say, treat my children like you treat me.
You asking, what would Jesus do?
No, I'm reading from this article. Protecting our borders and national security during Haiti's crisis, in reference to what Pumpkin Eater said earlier about sort of congratulating our prime minister for leading the way. Again, I will read. The repatriation of individuals aboard those vessels will be conducted in a manner that prioritizes the safety of our officers and respects the human rights and dignity of the passengers. I just want to know, again, to the top of the show, if the pilot that flew into Haiti unauthorized to pick up a group of unauthorized people, who we don't know who they are, whether they were under investigation or not, whether they had any matters before the courts or the police to rescue them and take them home, what's the difference between Haitians trying to get other Haitians out of those very same conditions? And why is it that our government is partaking in this regional, multinational process to reestablish order in Haiti, law and order in Haiti, right? But you are also prepared to return Haitians to that environment.
Anyway, it's 11 o'clock.
Yes, we're out of time. Producer, thank you very much.
We'll continue this conversation.
Give me one. So, we're going to continue it. Producer, play that music for me, please. Ooh. Producer, play the music. Let's get out of here. Here's another text. I feel that council selected to handle Haiti's affairs is just a puppet. Council, it is a way for outsiders to have a say in Haiti's future. And then the last text, if we repatriate Haitians by RBDF boats, it would be May 10 all over again. But I guess in part of the next hour, we'll speak to the...
What happened on May 10?
Or the Prime Minister's response, right? In his most recent address, protecting our borders and national security during Haiti's crisis. Thank you for tuning into On the Clock. Mr. Nuri, thank you for joining me. We didn't get to analyze the stories yet. Use of juries needs review. We don't aim to put society at risk. Follow that conversation in today's Guardian. The Bahamas in minority of countries with jury trials, and in the Tribune, AG plays down prospect of referendum on juries. We get to that.
We can never have no more referendum. There, I said it.
Okay, once you know the Hubert Ingram and say, we won't have reparations until we have a referendum, we'll get none of them, none of them. Thank you so much for tuning into On the Clock. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. C.A. Nuri, Guardian Radio, is up next.